Coming up on TMS, 14 fast food items that employees say you should never order.
We can never go back to the mall again.
The ultimate ticket agent.
Taking selfies before and after you rob the bank.
Bieber did a deposition and now we have to send him back to Canada.
Thank goodness. The final moments of Steve Irwin's life.
Fitness geek.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
There's a seat on that flying fortress for an adventurous young man. A healthy and patriotic young man, anxious and willing to learn to pilot a ship, operate a bombsite, or plot a mission over enemy territory. Young men of 17 to 26 years of age are needed. If you are 17, enlist in the Air Corps Reserve. Men between the ages of 18 and 26 can qualify for immediate training as aviation cadets. Let's face it, fellas, the opportunity of a lifetime is knocking at your door. The chance to learn to fly or navigate the hottest and heaviest jobs on wings, or drop the hottest and heaviest bombs without them.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
The Morning Stream. 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 The Morning Stream.
Their milkshakes bring all the boys to the yard. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to what we like to call The Morning Stream. It's TMS for short. It's an acronym.
Look that up. That's what that stands for.
Uh-huh. It's not titillating monster sex.
Massage
It's
songs.
Not toast monkey supermen.
Wow, I've been looking at that on the side of my coffee cup forever and now just realize that's what TMS stands for, The Morning Stream.
Tabulated menstrual cycle. how about, let's see, one more. We got
territorial monkey
sperm.
Sausage.
Oh, sausage is better. That's much better than sperm. I take it back.
Neither one doesn't really.
Neither one are very good. I'm Scott. That's Brian, territory. And this is The Morning Stream. It's March 11th, 2014. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's good to be here. I feel like we have things to say, stuff to do, and topics to discuss for this fine Tuesday morning. Brian, my eyes driving me crazy right now.
Aww.
Let me tell you how this works. So, our brains are a complicated mash of gray matter and goo, right?
Yes, right.
Connected through a series of electrical impulses, neurons, neuropeptides, Phillips 66, and the whatnot.
Cables and wires.
Cables and wires. Yes. And cat hair and bamboo, I used to say. And so when you get an eye operation like I had back in December, and it was with your dominant eye, your brain is used to a certain sort of, you know, it's used to what your eye tells it. And
right.
So it therefore builds an entire lifetime around that. It says, oh, that's just how this eye works. We're going to go ahead and burn in permanently how we see the world through that eyeball. And you better not go changing it because, you know, that may cause some disturbances. That's what the brain says.
Sure.
But I said, hey, well, that's fine, but you're not keeping up your end of the deal. You got all clouded over on the lens. I had to take the damn thing out. Few thousand dollars later,
blur, and then replacement, and
yeah. So then they take that eye out, or they take that lens out. They put in a fake robot one, and the brain goes, "Now wait a minute, that's not how this was before. This isn't what we had going.
We had a whole different system set up here."
Yeah, and I say, "Well, I'm sorry, but that's the new hotness." And the brain says, "Well, fine. How about we make it hard for you on and off to occasionally see out of that eye?" So the way it's worked out is. Initially, it was kind of bad, and I had major headaches, and it was hard to deal with. But then it got better and better and kind of used to it. And then for about, I don't know, about a month, just smooth sailing. No problems. I'm like, yeah, my brain's used to it. Way to go, brain. And the brain's like, yeah, we got this. And then yesterday and today, the brain's going, oh, remember the old days when we used to see differently? We're going to pretend those days are back. So now it's like this, I'm having cognitive dissonance again with my eye. It's driving me freaking nuts. And I'm sure in a couple of days, it'll be fine again. It'll be great. It's not like it's falling apart or falling out of my eye or something worse like that.
Right, right. No. This is nothing like that. The severity.
It's frustrating, though, because it gives me, it drives me crazy. I wish I could describe it. I can't even describe how it feels. It's a weird feeling.
Yeah. Eye stuff is weird because it is so, you know, you can say I've got a sore throat. People know what a sore throat is. But you say, oh, yeah, my eye is, you know, I've got this weird detachment in my retina or whatever.
Right.
I mean, obviously, that's a much bigger thing.
That's a bigger deal, yeah.
But it's the same kind of thing where nobody knows what it feels like unless they've experienced it.
Nope. And I'm sure there's some who have and they get it. And there are people with all kinds of worse issues with their eyes. So I should quit complaining. But
I guess on the same token, nobody knows what a sore throat feels like unless they experience it. But they can guess.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. I just don't. Let's put it this way. I don't like internal stuff.
Sure.
I'll give you an example.
You like all your melodies just right there on your sleeve. Right,
I like them on the outside. I like broken bones where the bone's sticking out of the flesh. I like scars and lacerations and you know, bruise. Noticeable bruising is great unless it indicates an internal problem that you can't describe once again. So we're at the Subway, or excuse me, at Quiznos yesterday. Mm-hmm. I apologize for mixing those up. The difference is Quiznos cut your mouth with everything they make.
How can we make this bread a little bit rougher on the inside? I know, we'll toast it and make a nice serrated edge on the...
Exactly. You nailed it. So I'm in there and it's fine. It's always like it is. And people are there and there's a couple people ahead of us, a few people behind us. I'm there with the kids. We'd gone to the gym. I made the kids work out with me. We were finished. We said, all right, let's go get something to eat. I promised them we'd get something out. So we went there. Because that sounded good to everybody, and Carter wanted like a big vegetarian deal thing. So we went there and got that. And the guy at the counter, the kid, I shouldn't say guy, he's probably 16. He couldn't have been older than 16, and he probably wasn't younger because I don't think that's legal, right? Mm-hmm. At least I don't think so. Can you hire anyone younger than 16 in the States?
You can, depending on what they're doing. Like, I think busboys, I think you can't serve food. Unless you're 16, you certainly can't serve alcohol.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Unless you're a legal age. I want to say you can busboy at 15 or wash dishes or stuff like that.
I think you're right. I think you're right. So I think this kid had to be 16 because he's handling food, preparing it, and giving it. Mm-hmm. Problem is, and I don't mind a kid with some long hair. You know, fine.
Sure,
you're going through your teenage years.
It's Toolman Johnson.
I had long, mullety, horrible hair. I get it. I understand.
We both did. You've seen pictures of me.
I have. You and your palette.
Seniors too, yes.
That is a hell of a photo. We got to get circulate that more.
No, we don't. It's fine.
It's fine. You say it's fine. All right, fine. So anyway, I'm fine with that. I understand the rebellious period. I understand the desire to do things with your hair to kind of set yourself apart and all that. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But this kid, this blonde, skinny, acne-ridden kid, had the gnarliest, nastiest blonde mustache going. was this nappy little kind of unevenly grown, sticking all which way kind of looking thing. It looked like
28 hairs, but they're all long.
Yes, and they're all sticking wrong. They're all hanging out kind of wrong. One of them's like curled up under his lip.
Term for that is cattywampus.
Yes. You know what it reminded me of is like if you get a cat really wet and then try to like towel dry it. And for a minute, they just look like chaos.
Right. Yes.
Chaos the animal. That's what this kid's mustache looked like.
That's funny.
And I really had a hard time looking. I had a hard time being there. And I felt like I wanted to go somewhere else the entire time.
So what do you want on this?
I'm like, well, I don't want that on this. So if you could not drop any of that that's growing on your face, if that could not drop into my sandwich, that'd be great. And none of that hair hanging off your shoulder, that'd be wonderful as well. How about none of that in my sandwich? How about the rest of it's fine? Anyway, it was just a thing I noticed, and it would gross me out.
Yeah.
You know? I don't think you should have that, kid. I think if that's growing and you're cultivating it, your priorities are wrong. You need to go shave that damn thing off.
Because you're trying too much too soon.
No girl's going out with that.
No, exactly.
Nobody. Who is? Are there girls sitting around going, I mean, I realize this particular generation that he's in the middle of, they all think they're pretty precious little snowflakes, don't they? All of that whole group. And I think he thinks that some hipster girl is going to fall for his 1972 extra in one of the freaking Smokey and the Bandit movies looking mustache. They're not.
No, not until that thing comes in a little bit fuller. You got to, cultivate that thing for a while, and probably not until you're like 19, 20, 21 at the earliest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pants Fan posted this great photo of Bieber. You know, the thing about Bieber?
Yeah. Give me the thing about Bieber.
Anytime you take his picture, if he's got the sunglasses on, he's got to raise his eyebrows above the sunglasses, like Oh, I'm surprised.
Oh, look at that photo. Shave that off. And take off that giant hat. I don't like
it. You look like a damn fool.
I don't like the giant hats. We have him in the news later, and we got some great audio from his deposition. So I know you're excited about that. I would be.
Another Jay Martin also posted a picture of Matthew McConaughey with the wispy mustache kind of thing. Probably Dazed and Confused era.
Let's see.
Matthew McConaughey. It's scrolled up a little bit.
Yeah, that is Dazed and Confused. You bet it is. That's totally him. All right, all right, all right. He was like 19. Did you know that was his first acting job?
I don't doubt it one bit.
And did you know?
You think that he was acting? What?
Did you know that people still refer to his all right, all right, all right line, even though it was the first thing he ever freaking did?
No way. People still bring that up.
Yeah, all the time. He brought it up himself there at the Oscars there.
You don't say.
No, I don't say. Or I do say. I do say.
We get the Mammoth game. We have season tickets to the Mammoth National League Lacrosse. Mm. And there was a substitute announcer guy who basically gets the crowd all fired up and says, hey, if you keep cheering, they'll get another goal, which doesn't ever work.
Right.
But he kept pulling out the, all right, all right, all right.
Really?
Yes. And the first time I looked back at Tina, I said, oh, all right, Matthew McConaughey officiating the game or announcing the game. And then he kept doing it. And I was like, okay, dude, I don't know, you know.
Wow. Yeah, that would irritate me to no end after a while. I mean, the first time, maybe.
Yeah.
One time, then be done.
Yeah.
He's riding the coattails, man. He's excited.
He is, exactly.
He won. He's got this Dallas, the Buyers Club business.
Right, and the Wolf of Wall Street and the Mud. Still got to see Mud.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I hear Mud's great.
Yeah.
Heard nothing but good things about Mud.
And True Detective. I got to see True Detective.
I know.
And thankfully, I have HBO Go, so I can see True Detective.
I have to borrow a friend's account to watch it on HBO Go, because I don't have HBO.
I kind of do as well.
Oh, my God. It's all fine. Borrowed internet, borrowed HBO.
Right.
How else are you going to afford? How else are you going to afford freaking lacrosse season tickets? How else can you do it?
Exactly. Hey, I'll be quite frank. We pay for HBO. We have a subscription HBO, but our provider isn't one of those that's tied into. It's not like Comcast or Suddenlink or
sure.
any of the big ones, Cox or whatever.
Yeah.
So we have to do some other methods to
Cox.
Get things rolling.
I don't like Cox.
Yeah, that's a bad name. Yeah.
So that's
honey,
all good.
Did you pay for Cox this month?
I sure did. So I don't think that, I have no such excuse. I just borrow a friend's account because I have no HBO and I'm a cord cutter.
You're a cord cutter.
And I really would like it if HBO gave me some other alternatives. I might actually pay for your service. If you could just give it to me a la carte on an app, I'd be fine with that. Just let me have it outside of the ecosystem of cable.
Right.
And I'll pay for it. I'd be happy to. But you won't let me, you bastards. Okay, moving on. Check this out. 14 fast foods restaurant employees confess you should never order. These are the people that work in these places. They know because they work there.
Okay.
They understand.
So it's basically like that scene in Fight Club where she says, I'd like this, and the clam chowder. And mm-hmm. clean food only, please.
Yes, exactly.
Says, then let me recommend against the clam chowder.
It reminds me, Kim's in San Francisco and they got a clam chowder last night. And I warned her. I said, don't forget the kind of stuff we had last time we were down there. Last time we were in San Francisco, we were on the wharf, supposedly all this real authentic stuff. And I guess it's real authentic, but when I do not think clam chowder should have the crunch of sand.
Grit. Yes, you don't like the grit.
No, it's sand. It's dirt in there. It's dirt,
it's authentic.
Brian.
Yeah. That's what makes it authentic clam
sure,
chowder.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what.
If you get Manhattan-style clam chowder, it comes with cigarette butts instead of sand.
I'm in then. That
true fact. Scientific fact.
Wow. Proven time and time again. All right. These are on Reddit. These are fast food workers who work at different places. This one at McDonald's. They say, do not order anything on the McCafe McDonald's menu. That supposedly healthy kind of breakfasty hipster lady menu.
It's coffee. Well, it's their coffee thing. It's their Starbucks competition. So they've got a machine over there, and they say mocha, push mocha button.
Yeah,
and then it poops out a little mocha.
Here's how it's going to gross you out, though. I work for a McDonald's and make sure everyone that matters to me never orders anything that comes out of the McCafe machine, as they are routinely neglected in practically all McDonald's. Not only are staff not properly trained in its cleaning and maintenance at almost every McDonald's I've ever experienced, the managers in charge of training them don't know anything about it either. All McCafe, you saw me skip over that line.
I did. Yes, well done.
All McCafe beverages run through a horrifically dirty machine. We're talking 5+ inches of uncleaned liquid bullshit making up its inside parts.
Oh my God. And that's dairy collection, right? Yeah. I mean, that's like,
yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, how about this one? On steak and beans at Taco Bell. This is important because you used to work there. Says, I worked at Taco Bell a bit ago, and I warned everyone to stay away from both the beans and the steak. The beans start out looking like cat food, and the directions are, add water and stir until you can't see white anymore. Wow. The steak is just the worst on... What? Is the worst on dish duty. It would... Let's see. If it would sit too long, it would become like hard gel or hair gel.
Hair gel. My God.
That's gross. That's really gross. I'm not interested now in eating. Well, I'm off beef, so I'm not, and many beans, so I'm kind of off Taco Bell.
Oh, see, I'm old enough to have worked at Taco Bell at a time when you were, you know, working the shift and you were saying, "Hey, we need some more beans." You would actually go over to the side, you'd get a big bag of pinto beans.
Mm-hmm. Actual beans
them,
then.
Actual beans, you'd throw them in a pressure cooker with water, they would cook.
Yeah.
And then you would and then you'd actually mash them and grind them. Sure, you used hardware. You used a Black & Decker drill with a swirly bit at the end to mix them, to blend them. But,
right.
But because we didn't have blend tech.
But at least it's a freaking – it's beans. This isn't beans. This is some sort of weird space paste is what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
Space paste.
Brown space paste.
On Wendy's chili, I used to buy this all the time when I was younger. Dude says, I used to work at Wendy's. The meat used in the chili, that comes from the meat on the grill top, and that expires and dries up. That's put into a warm drawer until you have enough for a batch of chili. So from the beef cooker thing, it's all the remnants of that put in a drawer. Excuse me, a warm drawer, warming drawer rather, and then you use it to make the chili later. They freeze it and thaw it the next day. Also, if the chili is sitting in the warmer. Doesn't sell fast enough. We just add hot water to mix it up. I don't want their chili anymore. I'm done with it.
No, I kind of knew that. I knew that the Wendy's chili was basically just scraps.
Yeah.
This next one. See, and I disagree with this next one because it's a bad don't order anything kind of thing because it's incorrect.
Okay. So it says, for the love of God, don't order anything off the Starbucks secret menu. This is from user Stack52. Former Starbucks worker here. Please don't order anything off the secret menu. It doesn't exist. If you want a Snickerdoodle, Nutella, or Captain Crunch Frappuccino, or whatever overly sugary thing someone has since come out with, know the base drink and the modifications and order that. If you just say the name, it's up to the barista to come up with what is in the drink, and it may not be what the last barista you ordered it from put there. In other words, it could be sort of random. Now, that's not so much gross as it is just kind of stupid.
Just common sense, exactly.
Yeah.
And I will say this right now. People, get a pen and paper, because the Crunchberries Frappuccino is so damn good. I get it with soy, and I know I'm still getting a crap ton of sugar. So this is only like a very rare special treat, and I only get in tall size. But all right, here's what you do. You get a strawberries and cream Frappuccino and have them add a shot of, or a pump of hazelnut, a pump of toffee, and a pump of caramel. And it tastes just like Crunchberry cereal.
Oh, wow.
Just like it.
But that seems bad to me.
It's bad. I mean, it's all that sugar. It's three freaking pumps of syrup plus the strawberry syrup that was already in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, getting with soy instead of milk is probably just like,
yeah, I'll have a Diet Coke with that Big Mac. That's what that's like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Three Big Macs and a Diet Coke because I'm watching my weight.
That sounds about right. All right, these last two are going to break your heart.
All right.
Well, I'll give you two more that are... Well, here's this one. BBQ sandwiches at KFC. Don't get these.
Okay.
Guy says he worked...
I'm
skipping those. There's too many of these. It says this. Worked at KFC for 4 years. The barbecue sandwich is actually made from chicken too old and stale to give to homeless shelters, so they soak it in BBQ sauce until it can be pulled, and they keep it in the heater for a month beforehand.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
We're not going there. We're done there. Here's my least favorite because it just makes me sad. The donuts at Dunkin' Donuts. Everyone loves your Dunkin' Donuts, right? Currently employed at Dunkin' Donuts, and it's, this is the quote, and it's sad but true, all the donuts that they get and all their baked goods come to them frozen.
Oh, no.
Yep. None of it's made there.
Man. And so, we're just starting to get Dunkin' Donuts back in Colorado after a 20-year absence.
Same here. We just started getting them again.
Yeah.
So they may be on the rise, but so is their unwillingness to cook anything fresh.
Do you guys have Krispy Kreme out there?
We do. Yeah.
Yeah. At least you get to see them getting made there. Yeah.
When we first got it, it was chaos. Like they opened and I thought the whole city shut down.
There were people like sleeping outside the night before they first opened.
Yep. And Colorado. The lines, we went and drove and got in one of those lines. It was a nightmare trying to get donuts that day. So I quickly went, oh, this is probably not worth it. And now it's no problem. You just get them wherever. Yeah. They have them at grocery stores now. Like,
sure.
It's stupid common. But at the time this would have been like 2000 probably. Mm-hmm. 2001 maybe. Never forget.
My God, look at these other ones. The gas station Slurpees, the mold in those machines.
Oh, yeah. I want nothing to do with those anymore either. And I used to like those.
The Einsteins. Oh, man.
See? Don't trust anything, Brian. They do it all behind the scenes. At least at Subway or Quiznos or something, you get to watch them make it. Or even Krispy Kreme. You get to watch them make those things.
Right.
And you know they're not good for you, but at least you see what's going on there. That's untrue.
Here's something I didn't even know you could do. Always ask for fresh chicken nuggets at McDonald's.
You can do that.
It says, I used to work at McDonald's. If you order, especially chicken nuggets, just ask for them fresh. Otherwise, they've been sitting in their container in the heat. They have a timer, but 9 times out of 10, when that timer goes off, people just reset the timer instead of making new ones.
Ooh.
This could go on until all the nuggets are sold.
The word
fresh is really, you know.
They're barely nuggets. I don't even honest about asking for nuggets.
As if the chicken that gave his life for those nuggets is anywhere near.
No. I've always said if you show a chicken nugget to a chicken, you just say, I don't know what that is.
I don't like this list at all, Scott.
I know it's bad. You'll never go to the mall again either because Sbarro Pizza has closed. They are bankrupt. Out.
Oh, yes.
The great
Scott
mainstay.
Fletcher, the best tweet ever.
What did he say? I missed it.
He said, it said something like, New York Times, you got the headline wrong. It should have been, Sbarro goes sabankrupt.
Did I miss that?
That sounds great. Fantastic tweet. Yeah.
Fletcher. I'm going to pull it up. Let's see what he says. Oh, hey, breaking news. That headline should have been pizza restaurant chain Sbarro files for bankruptcy. That's fantastic.
That's it. There it is right there. Yes.
Brilliant. Anyway, that's a sad day for all of us, but never a sad day for us to call.
Did we lose you?
No. Oh, there it is.
Oh, okay. The suspense. I mean, I know who we're calling, but
something got weird.
People
there.
Who aren't used to this show may not know who we're calling.
Something got very strange. Okay, we're going to add Daryl to the call. Then we're going to do what we do with him that we do all the time. What is it we do? We do Stump a Trek Nerd. So here's his damn theme, all right? It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
I like how this one begins. Brian, read this in a fun voice.
Yeah.
As
that,
listeners,
that was them, by the way, not me.
Oh, no, I'm sure it was, yes. Yeah. As listeners of TMS, you are already part of the ever-growing, always amazing podcasting community. For my senior thesis, I'm doing research into podcast listeners, shows, and networks, and I need your help. If you could please visit projectpodcasting.com and take a short survey, your answers would be so valuable. Bonus! You can shout that part. Oh, bonus!
Nice.
See all this, the screenplay here. I'm failing at it.
Right.
For taking the survey, you can enter to win a $20 Amazon gift card. Not bad for a poor college student. So please visit projectpodcasting.com and click the Take the Survey link. And while you're there, learn more about the entire project. And remember, projectpodcasting.com.
Very nice. Daryl, are you there?
Yes, and I can confirm that the Wendy's chili is made from all the leftover goo on the grill.
That's disgusting. Did you used to work there or something?
Yeah, that was my first job.
Well, at least you were working there at least when Wendy's was decent. Like, the food didn't taste terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, I assume they still do the same thing because this guy's talking current. If that's still the case, and they've gone downhill so much in every other way, like their burgers are no good anymore, I bet that chili is just a cacophony of diuretics. Like, it sounds awful. I'm not going. I'm never going again. I'm done. Wendy's, you're out. I don't go to you anymore. Actually, I don't get burgers anymore anyway, so I got to go to whoever has the best chicken sandwich. Who has the best chicken sandwich right now? Let's just have a quick poll. There's the you got your Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A is who, like, if we're talking just fast food places.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A is
straight up fast food. You think Chick-fil-A is my answer? All right. Yeah. Okay. I'm going there today then. I got to run some errands, so I'm going to go there today.
We don't have those grilled here.
No.
Get the grilled or the don't get the breaded.
You guys are too liberal for a Chick-fil-A up there.
Yeah.
According to Nick Searcy. Great. Well, there you go. Let's
get liberals in their Chick-fil-A. Sorry, Twitter.
How you doing, Twitter? Let me tell you
sorry,
something.
Sorry, fatties.
Twitter, fat Twitter. So, Daryl, let's get to the business here. By the way, Daryl, I have to ask you a personal question. How much do you weigh?
I will say 185.
Damn.
Is that the truth or is that just what you're going to say?
No, I think that's, no, that's the truth.
How tall are you?
5'11".
Okay. All right. I think so. I'm trying to figure out if my doctor's right about my weight to height happy place.
Well, you're super tall, so I don't understand how anything under, I mean, if you were under 200, you'd be too skinny.
I agree. That's why. And he says the same. He says you want to be right around 200 and maintain around there. Yeah. And I've said, well, what about 190? That sounds like fun.
Oh, dude, you're going off the deep end.
Think
you
I'd be too skinny, too skinny at that point?
Where you're at right now, you look great.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I wish I could show you my butt. It's a sculpted piece of work right now. Just kidding.
Oh, sure. I'm sure it is.
It's just as flat. It's just as flat and stupid as it ever was.
Those lunges, baby.
Yeah, all those lunges I forgot to do. Well, Daryl, let's get to your hard trivia question about Star Trek, because you're here for Stump a Trek Nerd. We do it every damn day. If it's your first time listening to the show, then you have no idea what we're doing, and you'll wonder why at the end we keep doing it. But then you'll go, wait, I kind of like this. Then you'll listen tomorrow and go, yeah, this is good. And then you'll keep listening forever. That's the plan. Here's your question. It's an original series episode, TOS, we affectionately call it. The Ultimate Computer is the episode.
Mm.
The Enterprise is selected to use the M5 computer in a war game scenario. You know, the M5. Spock is very knowledgeable about the M5. isn't that a highway in Europe? Or am I thinking of the... What's that called? The M... the M something.
Oh, yeah, right.
The M5?
M5 sounds right. Yeah, it's like just the name of a highway.
Okay, M5, all right. Like anyway.
I know what you're talking about, but yeah.
I can't think of it. Chat room will help. He is asked how he knows so much about Spock and says he has a certain computer classification. What computer classification does Spock say he has in this episode? Is it the A3 classification, the A5 classification, the A7 classification? This may as well be a number one, right?
Yeah.
Or D, the A9. So it's the A3, 5, 7, or 9 classifications. While you think about it, we have nothing to eat, nothing to test, nothing to do.
Are you hungry?
Yes, we are, but we don't have anything to test.
So very hungry.
Imagine a world
where
we have food to test. It's on its way, I'm told. Some people are sending things. So, Daryl, you have to just tell us birthdays then.
Okay. That would be Trisha O'Neill. She is 69 today. She played Captain Rachel Garrett on yesterday's Enterprise. She was the captain of the Enterprise C.
Hold on. This was the one where Tasha Yar's not dead in their timeline?
Yeah.
I hate that one. She falls in love with the evil guy from Happy Gilmore. That's her.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
You know who I mean.
That guy who plays a bad guy in everything.
Yeah, and everything but Star Trek. Even in The Iron Giant, where he played the FBI agent guy that was sure there was something going on with the robot, he played that voice. Even there, he was evil. He's evil in everything.
Looking at her images file, it looks like she's played Klingons and Cardassians as well.
Oh. Well, she should, because look at her face. She could do that. She wasn't Lursa or Bator, is she? One of those Klingon ladies with the boobs?
No, okay. No.
Right.
You know what? Maybe she was. Looking at the Klingon picture, could have been.
She looks Batorish.
Who was?
This lady you're talking about.
Trisha O'Neill. Like,
she was. Yeah, she was.
She was one of the two sisters,
she was a
right?
Klingon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That put her in movies then, too. Because she was in a couple of the Next Gen movies, I want to say. Or at least First Contact, I think, or something. Can't remember exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm looking at them right now. I don't recognize it as a movie photo. So maybe, do you think she was really one of the?
I think she was.
Okay,
but I'm not finding any pictures of them to confirm it.
It's the name right there. It is Corinos.
Corinos, different. That must not be them then.
Okay.
Different.
Oh,
different
never lady. Mind. I'm sorry. That was the Cardassian name. Right. Yeah, I can't find any of the names of the Klingon ones. Oh well. All right.
Well, we tried, guys. We gave it our best. Yeah, Generations. Sorry, Thorne is right. Generations were where the sisters were. That's correct.
Lursan Bator.
Okay. Let's do. What are we doing? Oh, the question. Let's do it. Happy birthday to her, by the way. That's good. Good for her. How old is she? Mm-hmm. Did you say?
69.
Oh wow, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's great. She's got the whole world on a plate. Daryl, let's get back to your question. A3, A5, A7, or A9?
Okay, this is Spock's computer classification.
Correct.
And I think I remember this, but it was a number question.
It was the 60s where it made sense to act like there would be classifications, like you had to be special trained on how to use computers. This is where Star Trek got it wrong, is what happened there.
Well, it'd be like a Windows certification or something.
I guess, but
whatever they have.
Windows certification's stupid. Like, here the kind of certifications that make sense to me are like big government computers or, you know, crazy server farm stuff. Like, those kinds of things make sense to me. But just to use a freaking computer and go, computer, yes. What time is it? 4 a.m. You know, like, this is no big deal. In Star Trek future, the computers don't need this. Anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not really all that worked up about it, but I sound like I am. I don't really care.
Simmer down, why don't you?
Take a chill pill. A3, A5, A7, A9.
I'm going to say, I'm not even going to eliminate stuff. I'm just going to go straight to A7.
Wow. Straight to the throat. Daryl's a nonstop. Go to the throat, eight. Man. let's find out if you're right. I really don't know. The judges know, and they're holding up a card now. Let's see what it is.
Congratulations.
Well done.
You're a winner.
You must have remembered it. Spock says he has an A7 classification. Here is a Spock. Here is a clip of Spock talking about the M5, the M5 computer.
An entire attack force against my ship.
Have you heard of the M5 multitronic unit?
That's Dr. Richard Daystrom's device, isn't it? Tell me about that.
The most ambitious computer complex ever created. Its purpose is to correlate all computer activity aboard a starship to provide the ultimate in vessel operation and control.
How do you know so much about it, Commander?
I hold an A7 computer expert classification, Commodore. I'm well acquainted with Dr. Daystrom's theories and discoveries. The basic design of all our ship's computers are Dr. Daystrom's.
Boring, lame, technobabble crap. What do you call it? The techno, or what did he say at the beginning of that? He says, are you familiar with the Tektronic, some other BS bullcrap name? Like, anyone who
your hands are soaking in it. I'm running Steam OS on it right now.
If anyone thinks TNG held the record for most technobabble, I feel like there's plenty in those.
There was a little bit there.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Okay. Well, what does Spock say after that?
Pain!
Okay, great. Daryl is the Trek nerd on Twitter, everybody. You can follow him there. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. Daryl, why don't you give us a little contest of your own?
Wow, it's amazing how quickly this goes when we're not distracted by horrible food.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. Just rip right through it.
Yeah. Okay.
Folks, we want your horrible food.
Spock, you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Send us more bad food. Thickened liquid for Brian, if you please.
Oh, no. No, no.
Oh, no. I thought that's what you wanted. More of that?
No, no.
Oh, I've been telling everyone wrong. No wonder we're not getting any more. Okay.
All right.
All right, Daryl, what do you got?
It's kind of syndrome week here, I guess. Is this a Star Trek disease or an actual disease?
Oh, all right. We got a theme for that. Here you go. One right here. Wow, it's
nice. Wow.
A lot of fanfare for
fairy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, the fan fairy. He was my least favorite Avenger. So
My Little Pony, least favorite, least popular character.
Yes, no one like, not even the bronies like that one.
No, no.
Okay, can I just make a quick disclaimer? That wasn't me making fun of bronies. Keep your emails to yourselves. It's just a comment.
All right, come on. Give
All you have to say, Brian, is all you have to say is brony. Just say that out loud, and you'll get 50 emails going, what about him? What about him? Leave him alone.
I have not said that word, nor will I.
You don't have to. It's, all you have to do is think it, and they'll still email you.
The power.
It's rough.
Okay. I used to watch Mr. Rogers when I was going to college.
You were a rony.
Well, Raji. I think those were...
A Raji.
A Raji.
You were a mess. They were called
Braji. Yeah. Sorry, because of the B.
Braji. Right, Braji. You were Braji. I used to too. I used to think he was awesome. I still think he's awesome. I mean, who are we kidding here? He was rad.
Yeah,
he was rad.
Nothing
he was
wrong
comforting when you're all stressed out and he talks to you all nice.
Yeah, come on in the house. Take off my sneakers. Check out the sandbox I got in this weird backyard that barely looks like a backyard. Yeah, all that stuff was great. And I like the stupid trolley. I like that he could put a thing on it and then that would show up on the trolley in the other world. That used to fascinate me for some reason. Like he'd put a sandwich on it or something and it would show up over there.
And the dude was, you know, the master of voices with all those different voices he did for the puppets.
Yeah. He was, he did them all.
Puppet.
I'm Lady Elaine.
I live in a castle. Oh, I live in a castle too.
I live in a tree. My name is X. And then the meow meow. Well, it was the cat thing.
Meow meow, X meow. Yes, right.
There was some weird crap going on. And the lady that lived in the roundabout thing, what was her name?
I thought she was a witch.
She was my grandmother to a T. She looked just like my grandma. Short hair, all of it. So weird. Anyway, wow. Mr. Rogers, everybody. Mr. McFeely. What kind of name is that? Don't let that guy in the house. Come on now. All right.
The mailman has to go and introduce himself to all the neighbors.
Yes. He did give the single coolest. There's two things that have happened that he did that were rad. He gave the coolest speech or whatever to Congress once about kids and children's programming and stuff like that. And it was great. Really, really interesting. And you guys totally hear it. And the other thing he did is he flipped off the camera once. And now we have that in an animated GIF somewhere.
We've got that photo, that keeps appearing in the chat room. Yeah. As a matter of fact,
yeah, they like to, they like.
Thank
to
you, ironic
up.
Name.
Oh, did he put? Did he go ahead and jump on that? Okay, good. Yep. All right. So Daryl, back to. Oh yeah, why is he doing that? What caused him to double bird the screen?
I don't know.
He must have said, "These two fingers can be used to dig a hole or something." Like I'll bet you anything that's some innocent thing, and he's not really throwing the bird. It's
no,
gotta
no.
be.
Come on now.
Or maybe there's
nobody
Photoshop
does that
involved.
And doesn't know what they're doing.
You gotta okay. We gotta find the video because there's gotta be on YouTube a video of Mr. Rogers throwing the bird. So we're gonna find it. Mr. Rogers flipping the bird. flips the bird. Here we go. Okay.
Gotta confirm these things.
Mr. Rogers. Okay. Here we go. Oh gosh, I hate people in their intros. Could you just get to the meat of the subject here? Okay. Here we go. All right.
This awesome clip from season one.
Where is Tallman? Where is Tallman? Here I am.
Oh. Yeah, he's. This is legit.
Yeah, they're saying it's a game where you show each finger.
Yeah, he's flipping these kids off. You know what? It's our fault for making everything terrible. It's not his fault.
That's right.
It's not
we're
us.
To blame.
Yeah, we're to blame.
We're to blame for making that, right.
Daryl, disease. Star Trek disease.
Mr. Rogers took the middle finger. We're taking it back.
Play it, Edge.
Exactly.
All right, Daryl. Sorry. Go. Give it.
Okay. Hurler's syndrome.
Hurler's syndrome. Brian had that a couple months ago on the show. If you
I did, yeah. Yes. It was a real thing for me.
Yeah. I'm going to say that sounds too, I mean, the word hurl is only a, that's like a, and there's no way that's a real disease. It has to be Star Trek, don't you think?
Let's go Star Trek on that. I could go either way because I think some really obscure thing could be Hurler's disease, but it does sound more like a Star Trek thing.
Yeah, I'm calling punk. What do you say, Daryl?
It is an actual disease.
Oh, no, it's some guy named Hurley or something.
That's right.
Dang it. What's the disease? Did you go that far into finding out?
No, but Google will help you there.
All right. It's probably throwing something really fast or hard. Who knows? Right. All right.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Women Helping Battered Women Incorporated. Help provide women and families with that they need most, including counseling, shelter, food, jobs, and a place to live. Details at tiny.cc/womenhelp.
Sounds good.
But that one doesn't begin with, read this in a fun voice.
No, do not read that one. I'm glad you didn't also start that one with the all caps yelling it. That would be bad.
Oh, right, yes. Oh, because it does, doesn't it?
Let's see. We got one about a woman, actually, which I thought was just completely rad. Okay. I'm going to read this entire story to you. It's short, and it's barely news, but I just find it fascinating. So it's a story of somebody who was in line at a United Airlines flight counter. There was it was really crowded, giant line of people. There had been cancellations. You know how this goes. When things go bad, yes. You have to reshuffle, figure out how to get people out of there, all that stuff. So here's how it went. A crowded United Airlines flight was canceled. A single agent was rebooking a long line of inconvenienced travelers. Suddenly, an angry passenger pushed his way to the front desk. He slapped his ticket on the counter and yelled, "I have to be on this flight, and it has to be first class." The agent replied, "You know who these guys are. They suck."
Yes.
The agent replied, "I'm sorry, sir. I'll be happy to help you, but I've got to get through help some of these folks first. I'm sure I'll be able to work something out." Very nice. Whatever, right? Mm-hmm. The passenger was unimpressed. He asked loudly so the passengers behind him could hear, "Do you have any idea who I am?" Without hesitating, the agent smiled, grabbed her public address microphone, and said, quote, "May I have your attention, please?" She began, her voice clearly heard throughout the terminal. "We have a passenger here at gate 14 who does not know who he is. If anyone can help find his identity, please come to gate 14.
Oh, that's awesome.
With the folks behind him in line laughing hysterically, the man glared at the agent, gritted his teeth, and swore, "F you!" Without flinching, she smiled and said, "I'm sorry, sir, but you'll have to get in line for that, too." That lady is rad.
Totally. Well done.
Yeah. The real lesson at the bottom is life is not just about how to survive the storm, but how to dance in the rain, share this with others so they can also enjoy it. Anyway, I like that story a lot. Assuming it's true, that's awesome. That lady has my hat off to her.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a good story for you. Bank robbery suspect, probably in Florida, but I don't know. Posts submachine gun selfie on Facebook before he did the crime. So, Brian, okay. Next time you're going to do a crime, don't take a selfie ahead of time.
I guess not, no.
A man accused of 3 Michigan bank robberies may have metaphorically shot himself in the foot by posting a Facebook selfie in which he's holding the same type of submachine gun he used in the heist. Jules Baller. Would you say Baller? B-A-H-L-E-R? Baller?
Yep, Baller.
Okay.
Baller.
Age 21, allegedly robbed a Pontiac financial institution, a Genesis Credit Union, $4,300 on February 26th, and a Bank of America branch for $4,000 on March 4th. He's also accused of robbing a chemical bank in Bay City, $7,000 on March 5th. And he took a photo before he did it with the weapon he used to do it. And now he's easily prosecuted because he is a complete dip crap. Nicely done. Derp.
Well done.
Yeah, way to go,
well,
buddy.
There's been a rash on the news lately of this guy in Loveland, Colorado, who stole an iPad. But because it was hooked up to iCloud, he took a selfie and that photo showed up on iCloud. So now there's this, you know.
Oh, great.
This photo. So I'm going to put in Skype and I'll also put this in the Tadpool so people can see this selfie. So if you've seen this guy.
Let me take a look. Did you put it in chat? Okay.
I put it in chat and I also put it in Skype.
Oh my gosh, that's the photo he took.
That's the photo he took.
Wow. He looks like he's just figuring it out though, doesn't it?
He totally does.
Now, what's this thing do? Oh, that's great. Looking for a man who told Yeah, I've had several other items were taken from Premier Gymnastics. Dark haired bearded man with a cigarette clamped in his mouth. Plus that, look at that cigarette burning all the way up to the nub, dude.
Right.
That guy's great. Right. He's a great robber.
So if anyone has seen Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, please.
Yep. Yeah, please. Turn him in. Toot sweet. Tweaked audio is probably a thing. Many of you have in your earbuds right now listening to this show. But a few of you are like, it's still on the fence. You're like, you know, I don't know if I need a new pair of earbuds. I don't know if I need something with a lifetime warranty or really good quality or, I don't know, durability or noise reduction. I don't know if I need all that. Well, I'm here to tell you, you do, damn it. You need all those things. You can do it in style. get one of their great styles, one of their great colors. They sound great with music and talk, whether it be books, the latest from the hit band Imagine Dragons.
It just
came to my head.
They sound good. They're fine. Tweaked Audio earbuds. Yeah.
They're fine. Lifetime warranty on all of it. Go check them out. TweakedAudio.com. Now, that would be good enough. That should be just enough for you to go, yeah, I really could use a pair of these. But not only that, we're going to save you some money. 33% off. That's a huge chunk. That's a third of the cost off at checkout by using the code STREAM at TweakedAudio.com. Go do it now. I promise you won't be unhappy.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
Moist Cloaca. I really just want to see if Brian will say that out loud. Like comics? Video games? Hate that dreaded natural one? Then come check the Failed Task Podcast. The Failed Task Podcast is a new, mildly not safe for work weekly show by four guys who bring news, reviews, and wild tangents gently into your ear holes. Check us out on iTunes or through our website, www.failedtaskpodcast.com.
There was a space there between the at and the W's. It's weird.
Oh, that always happens. For some reason, when you copy and paste, it trims those out. It always does that.
That's really strange, yeah.
But I've figured it out that there's no subdomain called at www.
There's no prefix on the internet that has an at in front of it? Right. Weird.
By the way, just realize that there's no, you know, you don't save any time by saying not safe for work over NSFW, because as a matter of fact, there's more syllables in NSFW than there is in not safe for work.
NSFW, that's six. If not safe for work is four. Jeez.
I know.
What? That's like a bar trick in itself. Yeah. That's right. Impressive, man. Well, we need to make a big deal out of that. You're not saving any time. That's the point of an acronym, is to save time.
Right, exactly.
Now you're just a bunch of dummies. Oh, you just made my day with that. I got to
NSFW.
I got to preach the word on that. Justin Bieber. Is it Bieber or Bieber? How are we doing that one? Bieber?
It's pronounced Bieber.
Bieber? Bieber, all right. Oh, Bieber, you say. Bieber? All right, whatever. Yeah. Justine Bieber. had his deposition video leaked. Not leaked, but it's out. And this is him with being questioned, lawyers present. And man, does he look like a petulant little child. Did you watch this, by the way?
No, I did not.
You need to see this entire thing. I think it says more about who Bieber is than we've ever been led to believe. We want to see him as this dark rebel who's sticking it to the man, or we want to see him as this reckless rock and roll thing, or you know, whatever. We want to see all these different versions of him, but I think what it comes down to is he is just a little kid still. He's a little kid who's surrounded by people who buffer him from everything, and he thinks everything is free and everything is fine and everything is okay because he's a special little snowflake, right?
Right.
That's what this is, and it is hard to watch.
Oh, good Lord.
It's really hard to watch. This is a clip in the deposition taken last Thursday in Miami. Or as that girl on Burn Notice says it, Miami. Justin Bieber at 20 looks a lot like a petulant child, and attention to the clips might get under the singer's skin. Let's see. Love how some people love to twist and justify the horrible actions of others. We all have the right to defend ourselves and feel harassed. He tweeted on Monday. We all have the right to feel harassed. That's weird. hours after the tapes started making the rounds, so he's already sort of defending them. But and you know what? To give him a little bit of credit, the guy asking the questions was asking some pretty stupid questions too. Like they weren't. These were definitely not like. So were you hanging out with Selena Gomez this weekend? You really got to ask that question.
Really, is that important?
Yeah. So some of that stuff was super dickish.
The guy from TMZ working the the court case there.
That's it. It felt like, and Bieber's lawyer's like, really, you're gonna? Why are you asking? You know, like, I object to that. Blah blah. So there's a lot of back and forth about that stuff. But Bieber, man, as soon as he brought up Selena Gomez, he goes, don't ever talk about her again. Don't ever talk about her again. Don't ever mention her name again. He's like acting like he was going to put out a mob hit on him or something. Anyway, I've got some clips. I got some sound from this.
Oh, good, 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 good.
Not a lot, but a little. Here is part of his deposition. This is 25 seconds of it. You can get a taste of what's going on.
Remember earlier today when I asked you?
No.
Why don't you listen to what I had to say first? and then maybe you'll tell me yes or no.
I don't have to listen to anything you have to say.
Clarify questions. Today, if you have a question about my question,
today is
you have the right to be clear
over.
For you to be able to be
Mr.
clear.
Do
you remember being in Australia ever?
I don't know if I've been to Australia. I've been to Australia?
He's such an ass. God. And I haven't been to Australia. I don't recall, he kept saying. I don't recall. And at one point, this guy is doing these questions. And again, it's a deposition. So it's a lawyer asking him questions. And at some point during the thing, he goes, you call this journalism? Like, dude, do you know what journalism is? You know the difference?
Deposition is...
It killed me. It was so hard to watch. He's a potato head. He's really... It really bothered me. Like, it really bothered me. And part of it was just this... I don't know. I just feel really kind of bad. Because he's kind of broken. He's kind of busted. And it's kind of everybody's fault. So, enjoy that.
Yeah, but mostly his.
Mostly his. It's mostly his.
A lot of his parents.
His parents, yeah. Sure. He's 20. He's barely not a kid anymore. Anyway, whatever. It's a thing.
He appears to doze off at times during this thing.
Pretended like it. He also winked at the camera all the time. Just kept winking at the camera.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
I don't have to listen to anything you have to say.
You little shithead. I just want to kick you. I just want to put my foot in your butt. That's what I want to do. If my son talked to me like that, dude, there would be some...
There'd be some
hell to pay.
Insolent little...
This is what would happen if he talked to me like that.
Gay for months to come.
Gay for months to come. crocodile hunter Steve Irwin.
Yeah,
we talked about him yesterday. I don't know with this all this press. I think there's a lesson here. All this press suddenly about Steve Irwin. This needs to tell people something. This means that his daughter and his wife have some new show cooking up, and this is. He died in 2006, yet here we are all talking about it.
And it's not even like it's an anniversary kind of thing, right? Because we're not the 10-year, we're way past the 5-year. Mm-hmm. It's bizarre.
It's weird. I think it's all promotion. I really do. So this is how Hollywood works.
This seems so horribly exploitative. You know, I mean,
I agree. I think that's why it's sticking out.
His wife and daughter doing this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if there's conniving about it. This is probably more agents and PR people who. Know how to, how else are you going to get anyone interested in his daughter's new show? Dig up the memory of the dad. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably not cool, but it is. I think this is just how this machine works. Crocodile hunter Steve Irwin's final moments before death were revealed by his cameraman. The sole witness to the tragic death of Steve Irwin revealed the crocodile hunter's final moments after hundreds of fatal strikes by a massive stingray. I didn't know that thing hit him that many times. Hundreds of fatal strikes?
Either. Jeez.
I'm dying, was all the 44-year-old popular television host said after the surprise attack 8 years ago by the stingray. Cameraman Justin Lyons told the Australian talk show Studio 10 Sunday. Studio 10. How would they say it in their accent? I can't do it.
Studio 10.
10. 10. 10.
10.
10. Yeah, there you go. The two were in Australia's Great Barrier Reef on September 20 of 2006 to shoot a nature documentary when they found a massive 8-foot-wide stingray. The cameraman who worked with Irwin for 15 years said they were, quote, looking for something to do when they went exploring around the water in the inflatable boat, found the stingray, zap, 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 that was it.
Mm.
So there you go. I mean, the guy made a career out of grabbing the face of animals and ticking them off.
Right, right, exactly. So it's funny that this guy is doing this publicity thing, right, where he's coming out and saying, oh yeah, I was there with him and here's what happened. According to this photographer, this videographer, he says, yeah, I'll never release the footage, you know, that's something I'll never do out of respect to the family,
right?
But I'll go on a talk show and talk about it.
Yeah, I'll talk about it all you want.
I'll tell you what his last words were. I'll describe everything you could possibly see in that video, but I won't release it out of respect to the family.
Did you hear about speaking of videos you don't want to see, did you hear about that Johnny Carson sex tape that got released?
I did hear about that,
yes. Yeah, real wild stuff in there.
Yes, weird, wild stuff.
It was 72, I want to say, was the year, and it was him and some lady, I don't know who, but it's floating around now, and someone shopped it and sold it, and now you can buy, apparently you can buy this old black and white home movie of that.
Is it green night vision?
No, it's like straight up, it looks like a 50s video because it's all black and white, sure, but I assume it's just some home, Super 8 thing or something. I don't want to see that.
No.
don't want to see that at all. I'm surprised it took so long. I mean, here we are.
I don't want to see any Andy Rooney sex tapes.
Nope.
I don't want to see any Walter Cronkite sex tapes.
I mean, when did he retired in what, 90, 91? 92? Something like that?
I don't want to see Steve and Edie doing it.
Nope.
No, thanks.
Captain and Tennille? Nope.
No. No.
Beach Boys?
Any of the Osmonds?
No. None of the Osmonds. No, please, no. Oh, that would just rock. Jimmy. It would rock the foundation of the Provo area over here if we ever got a sex tape out of those people.
Sure it would, yeah.
That'd be real bad. I met Marie Osmond. She's very nice. She's sweet.
She seems like a lovely person.
Yeah, she's lovely. She had all that depression stuff, but she's doing good now. Mm-hmm. That's it for news and celebrity poop, and that means we're going to take a break with some sort of musical thing. But after that, we got Fitness Geek, we got Jury Duty, and we'll kind of end things like that. So what do you got for me for music? Yay. What do you got going there?
All right. How about this one going out to Matt, a.k.a. Grimm from AIE. Dear Baum and Son, they're piano manufacturers, by the way. I always find it interesting when you guys seem to lament your time spent podcasting as though it was adding up to a life wasted, when you guys positively affect more people than most of us who listen to you. Mm. In honor of this, I'd like to – I don't know if I believe
that. I don't think we do that, but yes, sure. I think we were surprised by the number, but I don't think it's life wasted. Ever.
No. Yeah. In honor of this, I'd like to request Ben Folds and Rufus Wainwright's cover of Careless Whisper from the Ben Folds retrospective album, The Best Imitation of Myself, which really has little to do with anything other than it's one of those things that TMS has completely commandeered in my mind with Brian's do-do-do-do sound. That's the one right there. Keep up the great work and don't ever think your time spent on the mic has been a waste. Thanks, guys. Matt, a.k.a. Grimm, A-I-E.
Nice.
You can get this on The Best Imitation of Myself. It was also released on something called More Live Shit from Ben Folds. Okay. And is Ben Folds featuring the great vocals by Rufus Wainwright, one of my favorite vocalists of all time. Just a really, really unique sound to this guy's voice. So enjoy this. This is great.
All right. Well, here it is. We'll be back in a minute with a bunch of other crap. Stay tuned.
So unsure, as I take your hand and lead you to the dance floor, as the music dies, something in your eyes calls to mind the silver screen and all its sad.
I've been given, so I'm never gonna dance again the way I dance with.
Before winter sets in, Kraft sends you a bright bouquet of flowers that'll make your table settings gay for months to come. I speak of the lovely new flower designs for the glasses that hold famous Kraft cheese spreads. This year, Kraft gives you not just one beautiful new pattern, but four. Yes, four different flower designs. A scarlet tulip, a graceful violet, a heaven blue cornflower, a jonquil the color of spring sunshine. And just think, you get one of these glasses every time you buy a Kraft cheese spread.
Lots of folks can handle it okay.
Hello, this is the Morning Stream. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Okay, we're back. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Still
hello.
Like, still like this version. That's the best version. Seriously. Beat that, I'd say.
Can't beat the classic, right?
Yeah, it's great.
The original, sure.
Hella good. All right, we're going to call our good buddy Bill Duran. We're going to do a little fitness talk because I like Bill. I think he's cool.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. All right, here we go. Dialing him up. We may even have a little theme for Bill today.
What?
I know, right? Let's see. Let's try this one here. Here's our theme for Bill today. There you go. Bill Duran with dogs behind him. Hello, Bill.
I like it.
What's going like on, man? You don't have a dog there. You got all cats, right? I should have had cats in there.
Yeah, dogs are better, really.
Mm, yeah. It's a good
like
point.
Realistically, wow. Dogs are better than cats.
Don't let your cats hear that. Jeez.
Well, they're more.
I don't care.
They're more fun, right? Cats are kind of not as fun.
No, look. Last night, I thought I'm gonna go to bed early. I've been staying up later and later. I blame that Diablo 3 game that people are playing. Yeah. Last night, I'm gonna go to bed early. Sure enough, my cat decides that for at least a solid hour, he was gonna sing me the song of his people. From the living room.
His people. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That. Do you feel like a cat is better as a kitten or better as a full grown animal?
Oh, way better as a kitten. Yeah. So much better. Yeah.
I completely agree.
Oh, see, yeah. I would go the opposite way. Kittens are adorable, but they are annoying as hell with like the stuff they're like chewing on cords and I guess puppies do the same damn thing.
Yeah.
I just like the wrestling around with them.
Give me a good adult cat any day of the week.
I like wrestling around with them. I like having them, you know, little kitties fall asleep on you and stuff like that. They have their moments when they're in that form. I'm cool with it. But when they're older, they're just stuck up buttholes. They think they run the place. Not into that. But I am into Bill and fitness. So, Bill, lay it on us, man. What's going on today? What are you thinking?
You're approaching 200, you said?
Yeah, I'm 204 as of this morning. And that puts me... If my goal is 200, then I'm 4 pounds away is all, and I bet I can do that in a couple of weeks.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, there's some part of me that thinks it may have been too rapid. Like, I lost, it basically just came from diet change and exercise, and then that diverticulitis thing sped things up for about 2 weeks. But for the most part, you know, you don't want to, it's not healthy to lose, 10 pounds a week or anything, and I haven't done that. But, I was 208 a week ago, so I'm 4 down from a week ago. That seems like it might be a little too quick, so I don't know. I'm not very good at the pacing of it, so I really don't know. Like, my doctor says, no, that's some people that can do that. That's, you've changed your diet pretty drastically, and that can have that effect. And so he seems to be fine with it, but I have to be, I'm a little cautious about it. I don't want to go too crazy. Mm-hmm.
what's important is that you are consulting a physician about it.
Yeah.
A man or person who knows more than you, a lot more, went to school for it, who can give you real advice, not some weirdo from the internet that's hiding in his basement.
Right. Which, you know, you just described me in a weird way.
Yeah. I was going for myself, but sure, you too.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty pleased with it, though. Like, it's all worked out nicely, and everyone keeps asking, what's your secret? And I'm like, eating less, eating better, and exercising every day. Mm-hmm. That's it. Simple as that. Mm-hmm.
So, did we really need more reasons not to eat at fast food restaurants?
No.
With all those terrible stories you were telling earlier?
We probably didn't, but boy, sure, that sure adds.
Wow, yeah. Man. I am very glad that Qdoba was not on the list, because I like Qdoba from time to time.
Can you, for those not with a Qdoba near them, what does that explain?
Like a Chipotle?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have Chipotle, but
it's a wraps.
Mexican-ish restaurant. I'll go there and I'll get a burrito, and they're pretty good. Really tasty.
That sounds really good to me. Do you have a favorite? Do you have a recommendation?
Yeah. What do they call that? Fajita ranchera burrito.
Oh, that's a good one, right? Because you've got the fajita vegetables, no beans, right?
No beans. It's got grilled vegetables on it. You get steak or chicken on it. It's pretty tasty.
All right. That sounds good.
So one of those. It was probably around 800 calories. So for me, that's about a half a day's worth of calories currently. So that was a big splurge for me for dinner. But I tried to work it into my my count for the whole day, and it worked out all right.
I am noticing something about me with this diet, and that is that so yesterday I subsisted on probably 800 calories total.
Oh, wow.
Without trying. I didn't really intend to do that. I just, that's what I ate, and I was busy, and I had a lot of stuff going on, and I never felt super starving or hungry. That's the biggest change for me has been I used to constantly crave something. I needed snacks around me all the time. I needed to have a handful of something going on, and now I can eat a thing, and I can just be fine, and it's not, and I don't feel like I'm totally having to force myself to not eat. I just ate less yesterday. Mm-hmm. And that's easier the more I do it. I mean, probably I should be somewhere around 1,500 at least.
That would be my guess, at least.
But on some days, I don't know. That's just the way it goes. And I think that's contributing to the quicker than normal loss of the weight. But I guess what I'm telling people is if they get to the point where, you know, they've changed some of those habits, you do kind of crave less. Like, I just don't crave as much, and
and that's the point I need to get to, because since I'm going to go as far back as saying since like Thanksgiving, I've noticed that it's harder for me to feel satisfied with smaller portion sizes. Mm. And it's like, I can give myself a smaller portion size, but then I feel like I need to snack or get something else.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to be eating better stuff to fill up, like fruit and vegetables. You know, if I'm gonna snack, get some snap peas or an orange or something like that, rather than grab a cookie or
have it on hand so you're ready to go. Right.
Exactly.
I don't think I've ever reached a point where I'm ever satisfied with how much I'm eating. So for example, yesterday I started my day about an hour late, so my eating schedule was off a bit. And by 2, I usually have lunch at noon. By 2, I hadn't had lunch, and I hadn't thought about it because I was working. I was doing really, really busy, but someone mentioned a sandwich nearby. Mm. And immediately my brain was like, oh, hey, you like sandwiches? And then my stomach was like, dude, we are really hungry.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen.
We are so into all sandwiches.
It takes just an audible reminder that I should be putting food in me before my body just goes, dude, pile it on.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the hard part for me is I tend to crave things now that are very specific. Like, I got to have salt and I got to have something now. So I'll eat like a half a bag of sunflower seeds and then regret it for 3 days.
Right. You know what that is, too? I was reading a study a while back. People were saying, how come when people are... let's say homeless people or underprivileged people who are poverty or impoverished. There we go.
Impoverished.
Mm-hmm. Why can't they eat healthier? Because I mean, they can't go out and buy really extravagant food. And the thing is, when you get really hungry, Your body doesn't want healthy food. Your body wants carbohydrates. Your body wants a bag of chips. When you are really hungry, your body wants energy and now. And in our society, that stuff is really cheap.
Sure.
So that's what happens. And you're then even, you know, whether you have money or not, it's easy to just go, oh, I'll just wander down, down and grab a whole bag of chips and then eat the whole thing.
Right.
Because you're, and when you start eating too, your body doesn't realize it's full, or your stomach doesn't tell your brain it's full until you've polished off the entire bag.
Well, part of it too is it's also now to the point where you could, you technically probably could eat a little cheaper if you went to McDonald's and got moderate food.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and that sucks.
Yeah, it depends.
And that sucks because what that does is it says, well, you know, for 50 cents more, I can go to McDonald's where it's all made. It's there in 2 seconds and I can wolf that thing in and I'm done. Or I've got to go grocery shopping and I've got to really budget and I got to figure out what to eat. And I think it's harder and harder now to do that.
It's the time commitment. You can eat cheap. If you go and buy your own ingredients, it's way cheaper than McDonald's.
Yeah.
But the time commitment is what people are not willing to put up with.
Yeah. Which is too bad. Cause
it's all about just planning ahead.
Yeah. I agree.
So let's talk about body image disorders.
All right.
I don't know why I went down this this Wikipedia rabbit hole about body image disorders, and there are a couple that I was interested in. You guys ever heard about body dysmorphia?
Or I have. I think I have it. Yeah. I see myself in a mirror and go, "What the hell is that thing?" Yeah, I totally think I have that.
It's apparently approximately 1% of adults can be afflicted with this sort of thing. So you may be dissatisfied with your body image. That's not the same as having body dysmorphic disorder. Right. But essentially, it's a sort of thing where someone will pick a... almost lost it.
Slow down, coffee.
We're good. Excessive concern and preoccupation with the perceived defect of their physical appearance. It may not even be a real defect. A lot of times people will pick something about their body that they think is messed up, and their brain just keeps telling them that.
Yeah.
It's frequently minor or imaginary. It affects both men and women and can be treated with psychotherapy. It's in your head, basically, is really what it is.
Mm.
It's really interesting.
I could see that. So, like, it's the root of some people's anorexia or bulimia, because basically they look in the mirror and they see.
Yeah. It's not the same, though they are commonly associated.
Yeah, and they can be linked to, well, I do know this. So I had a relative ages ago who had anorexia, it may have been bulimia, I don't remember, maybe been both. We learned the other day through the news that that's kind of the same thing. So, or it can be. Or not can be, but, you know, some people have both. Anyway, the point is, it was Kesha. We were talking about Kadalarha yesterday. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Right. What'd you call her now? Kiha?
She's Kesha.
Kesha, thank you. I got to get the new one right. And she says that when she would look in the mirror, she was as skinny as a rail, but she'd look in the mirror and she literally thought she saw a big fat girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw that even at her skinniest, at her most afflicted by those two disorders, and it didn't matter. And I think that that's probably a real severe form of that. I look in the mirror and I just see kind of a dope. Like, that guy's a dope. It's like not even it's not a fat or a skinny thing. It's you're just misshapen and weird. Your head's too big. Like, you got weird features. That's what I see. Now, I don't know if it's the same thing or if it's just a mild version of that, but I've always felt that way looking in the mirror.
Well, everyone kind of has an idea in their brain of what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what it is. It's an implanted image of what you think you look like. And it may not always be the reality of it. Fortunately for me, I have a perfect likeness that lives nearby now that looks just like me.
Mm-hmm.
I have a constant reminder. That's exactly what I look like.
Right.
Actually, he's a little more trim than I am now.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good. The twins are supposed to keep up with each other.
Whoops.
Aren't they?
Everything's falling apart. First it's the coffee. Now I think Kinder just took a dive.
Yeah, he's super. He weighs 4 pounds less than I do. But there's no way if I lost 4 pounds of fat, there's no way I'd be as trim as him. So he's not only is he more trim than me, but he is also slightly more muscly than me.
Isn't there some unwritten rule that the twins have to keep up? You're not keeping up your end of the deal.
I'm trying, man.
All right.
I'm trying real hard.
Get on the stick.
So with this body dysmorphia thing, the thing that was surprising about it to me was that many people who are afflicted by it are what we would consider traditionally attractive. That it is so perceived that most people would say that person is super pretty. And then in the inside, they're saying like, I'm a hideous beast. It's crazy.
Wow. Well, don't have that then. How does one avoid that? I assume this is a thing you got to get therapy for or something.
You have to go see Wendy. Wendy will help you.
She totally would help you. That's true.
The other one I was looking up is called muscle dysmorphia. And it's an obsession that you are not muscly enough. And super common in males, you know, the dudes you see at the gym who are always pumping weight. And again, you'll see guys who are like super jacked and super cut, and they think they aren't muscly enough.
Right.
You know, compared to a flabby dough guy like me, they're supermen, but they're constantly comparing themselves to other people, constantly seeing themselves in the mirror and not being happy with just.
Do you think anybody, though, do you think anybody actually has full-blown, there's so much social anxiety associated with how you look and how others perceive you. I doubt there's a single human being who doesn't have at least some of this.
Yeah, and that's possible. I think that the goal is to at least is content, just to be content with your body. Yeah. You don't need, and obviously going the far other end of the spectrum is being way too proud about your body shape, and that could be just as damaging.
Right. I mean, do you think that, like, trying to think of somebody. Like, I feel like even... Well, I know some very attractive people. I even know... Sometimes my daughter will do this, who's a very attractive, nice 19-year-old. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks she's pretty. She is pretty. She's absolutely pretty. But she'll look, come up to me some days and go, Dad, my eyes are the wrong... My one eye is different shape than my other eye. Mm. I'm like, well, you're not like... What's her name from 90210, where it was like 4 inches.
Shannon Doherty.
Yeah. I go, everyone... Nobody's perfectly symmetrical. And if they are, it's kind of weird. Nobody wants to see... Yep. That kind of perfection.
We talked about it yesterday. We're trained to see the pattern. We're trained to see where the pattern falls short, you know?
We live in a world where everyone would agree that Tom Cruise is probably one of the most attractive human beings, but his front teeth are not in the middle of his face.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's got one tooth straight down the middle, and it's a little bit strange. Do you think he cares about that? Do you think Xenu cares?
I bet Tom Cruise probably has some body image disorders going on.
You think so?
I bet he does. I bet deep down inside, he probably isn't totally happy with how he looks.
Maybe he just doesn't like his breath, and that's why he's always singing "Take My Breath Away." Yeah, all the time.
The last thing I got.
That? What are you talking about?
Take my breath away. It was in his movie, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, but Berlin sang that. Come
well,
on.
Yeah,
now.
But that's the joke. Is he has bad breath, so take my breath away because he was in that movie. It's a bad joke. I admit it.
I can't get behind that.
All
one,
right,
Scott.
Fine.
I'm sorry.
All right.
The last thing I have here is a YouTube video I looked up. I'm not linking it. It's very lots of swearing in it, but it's called The Evolution of the Lifting Man. It's kind of this satirical look on how when people start lifting and then they start putting on muscle, mostly dudes. It's a very bro-centric video. But the irony is that a lot of guys will start lifting and putting on muscle and getting all cut and stuff so that they can impress women. But then they reach a certain level where all they're doing is comparing themselves to other male bodies. And they hit a point where women stop being attracted to them because they're these giant behemoths. I think the highest level was like freak beast level. Those guys you see on Muscle and Fitness magazine.
Oh, right.
Giant piles of muscle.
Yeah, those aren't.
It's just a really funny sort of look. The Evolution of the Lifting Man. I suggest people look it up, put on your headphones because there's lots of F-bombs.
All right. Oh, well, geez. I like a good F-bomb. No, I don't.
Yeah.
Or maybe I do. I don't
Who
know.
Doesn't?
Who doesn't? I occasionally like a good F-bomb. Bill, it's always a pleasure, man. You got something else happening these days you want people to know about? You got any cons coming up? What's going on?
Yeah. Well, I do this live stream thing on Thursdays, which everyone else is doing live streams on Thursdays now.
Yeah.
I was doing it first.
Yeah.
I think I was first.
Brian may have been first.
No, Thursday at 5, Thursday in the afternoon, later. I planned mine to be after Coverville. I'm just saying.
Well, so yours starts at what, 5 p.m. your time?
Yeah.
So that puts it at 6 o'clock our time. So we should be done with TMS PM by then.
Okay.
So
good.
We shouldn't be a problem for you. It's that Veronica Belmont you got to worry about.
Right. You know, cutting in on my Exactly. My business.
She just owns the place.
Yeah, just, I know. Just walking around.
I'm going to Belmont. And you're all my bitches.
So right. Anyway, I do. I've been doing that for a couple of weeks now. I have friends who are other costume makers and prop makers on who take questions from people about how to make things, how to build stuff, costumes, props, how to do internet stuff, be a creative person. And it's been a lot of fun, and I've been getting a lot of great feedback. So if you're looking for something to watch on Thursdays, check it out. It also goes up on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/punishedprops.
Cool. And we usually talk on the show at least once about Nerdtacular coming up and the tickets that are on sale and all this stuff. And a reminder that Bill will be hosting and judging our costume contest yet again this year and be a part of panels about cosplay.
Yeah.
And just a regular awesome dude like he always is. So we're really looking forward to that this year, man.
I am super stoked.
Yeah, it's going to be good. If Veronica was to ask you a question on your show, she would say,
how about a booby?
And you would say,
and it's not that I don't appreciate a good boob.
There you go. That's it. Thank you, Bill. We'll talk to you next time, man.
Yeah.
See you later.
See ya.
Oh, I can't hang up on him. There we go. He's gone. All right. Now, now we call Justin, who I'm told is at a hotel in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Wow.
Talked to him last night briefly. Yeah, he's traveling, doing the Go Game business.
Ann Arbor.
He's kind of the most nonstop human being I know.
He really is, yeah.
I mean, it's appropriate
that he works for a company called Go Games because he does always go.
Well, he's still kind of a kid.
Always on the go.
He can handle it. He's still young, still spry.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
I'm not. It's Justin Robert Young, everybody, in some hotel somewhere. Hey, man.
Yeah, it's a hotel. That's a fact.
Are you in Ann Arbor, Michigan?
No, I'm in Ann Arbor, Columbia.
Drug capital, cocaine capital of the world, Ann Arbor, Columbia.
Go blue.
Yay. Hey.
In parentheticals.
So you're always traveling and flying and driving and stuff.
Every day he's shuffling.
I don't know how you do it, honestly. It's too much. It seems like too much to me how much you do.
The key is not acknowledging it as a real fact and just understanding that at some point you signed on to some bizarre Twilight Zone program in which your tiny pocket computer tells you what to do and you just have to do it or else you stop getting the pellets for which sustain your life.
Now you say this and it's funny on the surface of it, but I actually think there is something to it and you actually do that. I think there's a piece of this that's true. Would you agree?
There's an element, especially when it comes to like people be like, oh, I'm so tired because of jet lag. Or like, oh, I was in these times. I feel like my brain is still on California time, but really, like, I'm on Florida time. Yeah. And I don't acknowledge any of that because I don't feel like I can. I don't have the luxury to acknowledge at what point my body feels like it's on whatever time. Like, there is only one true time, and that is iPhone time.
So... All right. Well, it's always a miracle and a thing to see when
it's
I
always,
hear about
it's a way
your
to
week.
Make it work the best, though.
Yeah. I just don't know how you do it. I think there's two things happening here. You're young and spry and full of vigor and energy. But secondly, there's a reason you're getting gray hair early, and it's because of all this travel.
Increasingly yet less young, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, it is rapidly fading.
Yeah. It kicks in pretty hard at 30 and works its way down the path, I noticed anyway. There are wrinkles I didn't have 5 years ago. So good times.
I think, the gray hair, but the gray hair happened in the mid-20s, actually. That was not even, I cannot really blame that in any good conscience on the Go Game. That was something that just kind of kicked in the mid-20s.
Hard living or what? What do you think that came from? Just you got a genetic tendency?
I think that was just a genetic thing. I don't think that there was like, you know, at some point I saw the ghost of you know, Howard Flagler or whatever Florida celebrity, you know, like at some point I just like got shock white hair in my temples or something.
Sure.
No, I think that was just a genetic thing. The good news is that my family is oily, greasy weirdos.
Yeah.
And I am in turn an oily, greasy weirdo.
That is good news. Indeed, that is good news.
Well, here's where it pays off, because not only was I a zit-ridden freak through much of my teenage years, but that means that as I look at all of the elder statesmen in my family, like, nary a wrinkle. You get to look about your early 50s, yeah, and that pretty much lasts you until you die.
Oh, that's great.
Just because your skin is so oily that it just, like, it's like trying to wrinkle a Corinthian leather couch.
So you're going to look like, I'm trying to imagine this. Let's imagine the shock white hair at some point, but sure, just this silky smooth complexion of one of the Iglesias brothers or something.
Exactly.
That's great.
No. Imagine Enrico Iglesias, and then imagine him yelling about how much he likes to make Howard Flagler jokes.
All right, I'm all in. So what do you bring?
It's not Howard, by the way. Somebody will correct me right now on Twitter that it's not Howard Flagler.
Good, anyway. that's their job. So you probably come to us bearing some sort of a topic or thought. What's going on in the heart of Jury today?
I gotta defend my boy.
Who's that?
Bieber.
Oh, Justin Bieber. You want to so you've seen the entirety of it.
Is he a fellow Justin? Is that why? I mean, is there a convention?
Number one, we're all in the circular. Yeah. You know, uh-huh. It's actually still a physical mailer.
The Justin times.
Yeah, well, yeah, it is. It's the Justin times, and we get it. It's actually that's the little motto under the masthead is the Justin times, and then we get it. Okay. Wow. So here's the deal. I feel like your bizarre fascination / hatred with Justin Bieber has reached a new level, uh-huh, and I need to come to you as a friend, both
right,
of you,
all right,
and let you know where you have been blinded by it.
Oh, jeez.
I'm excited to hear this because I watched that. You watched the whole video, right?
I watched the four clips that were on TMZ.
Okay, fair enough. Those are the good chunks anyway. Yeah. The rest of it's, there's a lot of really boring stuff going on there.
It was 4.5 hours. You watched the 4.5 hour deposition?
Yeah, I didn't see the entirety of it. I guess I saw something that was boiled down to about 8 minutes or something.
Okay.
So anyway, go for it. I'm ready to be
considerably less than 4.5 hours.
Yeah, considerably less. I'm excited to be slathered with some straight up Justin talk here. So give it to me. Give it to me straight.
Here's the deal. You guys, and listen, whether or not Justin Bieber was a petulant little weirdo in that particular situation is kind of besides the point, right? I mean, aside from whatever you could say about him being a 20-year-old and considering whatever circumstances swirl around him and expectations are put on him and whatever that does psychologically, which I'm sure Wendy could go into great detail. I don't know if you guys have ever talked to her about, you know, situations like that and how, you know, how that could just, you know, permanently warp somebody. Yeah. But let's just put all that aside. You today were in a conversation between X, just solve for X, and a scuzzbag lawyer for a paparazzi bringing a case against Justin Bieber because his security, like, beat him up when, like the profession of the paparazzi is to insult people so they get a reaction.
Right.
So they can take a picture or a video and sell it to TMZ.
Right.
That's their job, right, is to say, mm-hmm, oh, I bet you, you know, I saw your ex-girlfriend, Selena Gomez, you know, like, banging some other random guy, right? And you say that to him, so he gets mad, so he tells his security to punch him,
yeah,
you know, or like, and then it's like, oh, like Bieber freak out more at 5, you know.
No, you're right, and I perhaps didn't put enough heat on that dude because that guy really was a smarmy turd. There's no question about that.
Well, even if he was asking regular questions, even if he was just like, hey, where were you? What was this? And he was being and Bieber was being a weasel, right? In his mind, he's being a weasel to the paparazzi guy.
Right.
He's being a weasel to the institution that in his mind, and listen, like, I don't think that necessarily paparazzi should be banned or whatever, and then they certainly serve a very important role in the ecosystem that is the echo chamber of celebrity. But, like, they are, I mean, I think that we could all, as non aliens who entertain us, you know, like in non-celebrities, we can all say that that's a weird profession, right?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
If we're going to get on Justin Bieber for being a 20-year-old kid and probably not handling fame really, really well, then certainly we can get on the 41-year-old photographer who's yelling insults at a 16-year-old so they can flip them off and they can make money off it,
get
right?
a picture of it. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's hard to disagree with. I agree with you there. There's no question that that guy in that profession, if you want to call it a profession, is it a profession? It's more like a, I don't know.
No, it's a profession. I mean, they make money off it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. Do you say on your taxes, what are you? I'm a professional paparazzi. What do? I yell at dudes.
So are you arguing though, Jury, that paparazzi and our, and I say are, not meaning me, but that the that society's adoration of celebrity is what made Justin Bieber what he is? Or do you think that that comes from himself and his parents and his upbringing and or a combination thereof? I mean, it'd be easy to say combination, but.
Well, I mean, sure, yeah. I mean, I think, like, everything affects everything, of course. But
sure,
at the end of the day is, like, I don't know how many people would act, you know, if put in the situation that you put him, right? Because the issue at some point is even beyond parenting, because, like, you can be the best parent ever, but I don't know if you as a human, let alone a parent, are able to thread the stone needle of your kid being the lead breadwinner in your house.
Right? You're right. You're totally right. Like, let's imagine Nick is 13 and an internet sensation to the point of ridiculousness, and he is pulling down $50 million a year on his weird new music career.
Right.
That is a world I have no experience in.
Now tell him to go to sleep. Right? Now tell him, no, you can't spend your money. Because, like, you know, it's like, oh, right now, I mean, you have kids that are dating age, right? And they want to go to the movies.
Yeah.
Right. And at this point, you have, a bit of a financial advantage. You have the financial advantage of saying, hey, I will give you $20 so you can go to the movies, but it comes with these restrictions. You know, don't do this, do this, be back by this time. And if, you know, they get in trouble, you can say, well, now I will not give you that money anymore.
Right.
So now all of a sudden, let's imagine let's continue to use Nick as an example.
Okay.
Nick has $50 million a year because he has invented a new form of cat yodeling. And it is crazy with the kids, and he yodels with cats, and all the girls love him because they find him to be a very sensitive soul who can commune with the feline.
Right.
Cat yodeler.
Yes. Yeah, cat yodeler, right.
Yeah. And listen, we don't understand it because we're of a different generation.
Right. We came from a time where no cat yodeled. I mean, come on.
Exactly. Or no one yodeled with cats.
Right.
Nope. Dead yodel with the cat people.
Yeah, and if they didn't have YouTube channels to show it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now he wants to take his girlfriend, who happens to be let's make her a younger version of Kesha, because you guys were talking about her earlier.
Yeah.
Like, let's say a 13-year-old, 14-year-old doing the same stuff that Kesha does in the tabloids for being, you know, a crazy drug-fueled wild child. He wants to take his girlfriend out on a date, except that happens to be chartering a private jet to Ibiza. Right?
Yeah.
So right now, you are at a point as parents where you would say, sure, it's fine to go out on dates. But now you have to say, no, don't go to Ibiza where all they do is get high on ecstasy and go to raves with the drug-fueled wild child on your private plane. That, by the way, you are paying for.
Yeah, and like, smells like cat pee because it's full of cats that yodel.
Because the yodeling.
Shit. Right.
You got to bang out a few videos on the flight, right? Like, you got to keep this party rolling.
Yeah, you do. You can't just stop. You can't stop for, you know, you can't stop for anything. It's cat yodeling 24/7. Here's what I would like to say to Justin Robert Young about all your examples, because you make fine ones and you could probably make 10 more. Here's what I would say, though. Damn you for making sense. Because here's the truth. if this was all the case, Yes, and can I tell you how much I will thank whatever lucky stars I'm provided that this is not the case. I don't want a multi-billionaire son in his teens. I don't want that, and I don't want it partially because I see what this does to the Lohans and the Biebers and the whatevers of the world. And can it be a different thing? Can you be Ron Howard? Sure, sure, there can be Ron Howards, but there are very few Ron Howards. Compared to other child actors.
Here's the weird thing is that I don't think it's a coincidence that Ron Howard was LA based when he became a child celebrity. I think that, and in the same way that I don't think it's coincidence that Justin Bieber came from Toronto and Lindsay Lohan came from Long Island, because I think LA is as bizarre and weird as it is at least an evolved society for those situations. You are able to talk to other parents who have kids that make more money than them. Right. You know, you the kids that make more money than their parents can look at other examples and see people that, oh, I would like to handle myself like this. I would not like to handle myself like that.
Right.
You know,
right.
And even now we're at a weird position now where it's like it doesn't look like that Jaden Smith kid is necessarily getting into a lot of trouble, but he's being a super pretentious kid, 13-year-old on Twitter. And everybody's like, oh my God, look what he wrote on Twitter. And it's like, dude, if that is wrong, I am so excited I didn't have Twitter at 13.
The combination that he's a public face and the fact that he's 13, 14, whatever, and he has Twitter. The only difference between another 14-year-old with Twitter is that he's not a famous kid with Twitter, because they all say stupid crap on Twitter, all of them.
Oh, my God. I mean, you just read the first couple books, you know, that are those, like, mind-expanding, brain-exploding books in your teens, and you feel like you've got the world figured out, man. Like, you've got this blueprint, and everybody, like, you're like, oh, my God, I just realized how many sheep there are in the world. Yeah. Like, you all need to open up your eyes. It's amazing that we look at that. And I think part of the reason why we do is because we do find it to be familiar.
Yeah.
You know,
but in a way, I mean, okay. So far I kind of agree with you, and you have a way of looking at these things that I like. I like the way you look at this stuff, because I think it lays bare what is actually the case. But
somebody came to the Diamond Club party on Saturday, which thank you to anybody who did come out.
Yeah.
And
you guys were down to South by Southwest. Very cool.
We were. Yeah, we were down in Austin. So he comes up to me and says, I actually don't listen to Night Tech, but I know you from the Morning Stream. I'm a tadpooler, and I just want to let you know that I believe that the Morning Stream is at its best when you're arguing with Scott.
Great. Now here I am agreeing with you.
This one's for you.
great. Well, I mean, this is the problem, is that we don't have Bieber. Like, I have this double relationship with Bieber. One, I kind of actually feel bad for him, because I feel like he's in that boat that nobody wants to be on that boat. You think you do, but you don't. That's one thing. The other side is he makes for great celebrity poop. He just does.
Oh.
Every damn day, it's going to be something. I mean, Charlie Sheen can't hold the load for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
So for
no matter how much he tries,
on like kind of a pure, you know, anarchistic point of view, yeah, Bieber, he's the guy you make fun of today. That works well for, you know, some of the stuff we cover on the show. However, you come waltzing in here with this like smartly thought out freaking point about the way people are raised and how they live. And now I honestly don't have a good argument against it. I think it's a pretty good point.
There we go.
So sorry, guy who met you in Texas.
Yeah. Everybody else, zero.
Right.
Wow.
Now who's to say that tomorrow we'll find out, you know, overnight Bieber shoved a burrito in somebody's tailpipe and the whole family was killed that were in that car or something.
There we go. Then we cross the
line. I'm not going to fall for the burrito in the tailpipe.
Then I'm going to have a hard time defending my boy JB. But, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I guess and there is certainly a lot of holes in my argument. The biggest of which is that I'm just painting a picture in which any kind of reprehensible behavior is at the very least explained, if not excused for. But I guess like it always does seem weird to me where we where we draw our lines. Like, where is it like, oh, well, that's something that we want to say boo to that, and we want to say yay to other stuff. And then we've talked about this before in terms of, like, you know, the people that we would, like, make excuses for, like in the geek community. Somebody does something horrifying in the geek community. Like, all right, here, let's say this. George Takei, right? You mentioned George Takei.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to the morning stream yesterday. You mentioned George Takei. That dude, it came out that dude doesn't write any of his own tweets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's got an intern.
Even when he's retweeted or Facebooked my comics, it turns out it was the other guy, some other dude.
It's a dude. He hires a dude. The dude came out and said, yeah, no, I'm George Takei's dude.
Yeah.
If Justin Bieber did that, it would be a 3-week scandal.
It totally would.
Because
your point is we didn't hold Takei to some standard of, well, this, you're basically
Takei.
Right,
in
right,
the
right.
Same way that all the believers will jump on anybody who says a bad crossword about Justin Bieber.
Right.
We are all believers, is what I'm saying. Some of us are just Takeiers.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it is true. You're going to pick your thing and you're going to back your thing. Like I said yesterday that I tried to watch an episode, and it was 2 episodes total that I've seen, but I've tried to give Girls on HBO a chance. And I just didn't like it.
I don't blame you for not understanding. That to me, I watched Girls and I watched Game of Thrones, and I believe that both universes are equally real to me.
Well, one has dragons and the other one's called Game of Thrones. Anyway, that's a terrible joke. Here's the point. I watched that show and I didn't like it, and I've said so on the show, but I fully accept the fact that there are a ton of people who really like it, and that's totally fine. But on Twitter, I get called out yesterday hardcore by a dude who cannot live with the fact that I don't like something he likes. That it's not enough to say, oh, well, that's cool you like that. I don't, but that's cool too, and we don't have to like the same things. That is not enough for this dude, and probably not enough for a lot of people. That I don't understand. Like, you can like Justin Bieber's music, and I can say I don't like Justin Bieber's music, and I'm okay with us living in the same world space. Like, that isn't a problem for me. So not allowing... Nerds are real bad about this. You don't like X-Men? How do you not like X-Men? Well, because I don't like X-Men. How do you not like a thing you don't like? Well, I can't talk to a guy who doesn't like X-Men. Other guy told me on Twitter, he says, I'm afraid to come out and say I don't like Nintendo games, because I put up a poll about Nintendo yesterday and the best consoles they built. And I happen to be a giant Nintendo fan, especially the old stuff, just a huge fan. So
yes.
He came to me saying, is it bad to say that I don't like anything Nintendo's ever made? I said, no, you don't like them, and that's okay. I don't dislike you for not liking them. Why is that so pervasive in the nerd geek / internet community? That's what I want to know.
I'll tell you what. I think we can bring this segment to a close with my final point that I will build right on that, because I am going to blaspheme right now in the geek nerd church.
I'm ready.
I was not a huge fan of the new Cosmos.
Oh, yeah. See, now this is interesting and fresh off the pages, right? Because everybody and their dog, because we're all, yeah, man, science, you know?
It's not just a great show. It's the important show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what everyone's been saying. Like, this isn't just a show.
To hate Cosmos, you must hate America.
And if you're not watching it, what does that say about you? Yeah, like that. And I, you know what? I really liked it, but I'm with you, dude. That kind of weird messiah complex with certain things that come out in sort of geek areas or people are talking about on Twitter or whatever, I kind of am running out of steam for that. I can't do that anymore.
It's hard. It's hard to deal with. And here's where my problem with Cosmos. And by and large, I liked it. I really did like it. And anything... any criticism that I would have in comparing it to the original is really unfair, because it's like, you know, if you want to waddle around the gigantic, you know, if you want to try to inhabit the shoes of Carl Sagan, then you're like that old lady who had 50 kids, you know, like you weren't living in that some bitch.
All right.
They, like it's done by Neil deGrasse Tyson and Seth MacFarlane, who are, and as is their right to be, very, I think it'd be safe to say, aggressive, if not combative, atheists.
Yeah.
They are very, very upfront with that. And it really kind of made me sad that the first, that we start, because to me, Cosmos in general is about looking out into the expanse, the beauty of our universe, and just like in that beautiful way that the 70s did so well, just kind of having that like, dude, wow, kind of moment, right? Just to explain and fall in love with the enormity and complexity of the world around us. And I don't, and what I love about that is that it is, that's universal, you know? Like, it doesn't matter age, class, religion, you know, creed, whether you like Sega or Nintendo, whether you like Justin Bieber or not, you know, like, everybody can look up in the sky and say, dude, but for real, that's insane.
Yeah.
And it really bummed me out that they started this journey through space and time with anything involving religion.
Well, is it? It's because we're having this thing right now. There's a modern day kind of this philosophical thing where science has been pushed into feeling like it has to defend itself like a religion. I think, anyway, in some circles. And so what you end up with is you've got this, at least on TV, or maybe just in when people are having public discussions about it, it has to be this sort of we versus you, science versus religion. Only one of us can be 100% right, and everything the other guy says is bullcrap. And turning things like global warming into kind of a religious argument instead of one about scientific fact or otherwise is kind of the other side of this. I can't stand it. I freaking hate it.
And also, isn't Cosmos to be supposed to be where we get away from that?
That's supposed to be it. It's supposed to be about the mysteries of the universe, and it's supposed to be about our limited understanding of it and our broadening of that understanding, and how do we get there and what do we do? It isn't simply, hey.
I mean, because I always thought, like, the beauty about Cosmos is that you could always say, if you were, and I'm not a religious person, but if you're a religious person, you could very easily, when the episode ended, just say dot 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 because God did it, and it would be the same show.
Right.
You would love it the same way, right?
Right.
And that's fine because we can all, at least for that hour, we can all agree on something.
Yeah.
We can. There is a universal element to that. That very literally, you know, that we can all appreciate because we live in our natural world.
Yeah.
And it just so bummed me out that there was this parable that in any way, it's just like, why? Like, we have everything, literally the universe. And we can't find for the first episode, the getting to know you introduction period about, you know, the universe, but we can't bring up religion.
Yeah.
Especially because it's two atheists. And now you are walking the most condescending of atheist paths. And I say this as an atheist, where you look at religious people and say, no, 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 no. This is a story about how these people worshiped wrong.
Yeah.
You
know? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's like, no, the whole point of being an atheist is we don't know, whatever. Like, yeah. Everybody who worships can do it their own way, and that's fine. And it's like, yeah, it's a non-argumentative point. And yeah, it's about authoritarianism more than it is about religion. But also, it involved a hell of a lot of crosses and churches. And, like, aside from...
Oh, the hotel tell kill his internet? Or did you guys both go away? Brian, are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Oh, Justin, are you there?
Yo.
Oh, I think that was me. I think that was me.
Oh.
I think my internet faded.
I was going to blame a Christian hotel internet monitor.
That might have been it. Could have been. Or an atheist one. I feel like.
Well, yeah,
actually. I feel like either way, yeah. Anyway, sorry, Justin, you got cut off there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like in the entire expanse, which was done, it was a great job on the show, explaining what a tiny speck of dust on the wind we are, mm-hmm. that we had to go there first. Or just tell a story about a guy getting murdered.
Right.
Like, you know, really? We had to tell the murder story first?
I kind of agree 1,000%. And I don't know why they decided to go that route, except to say that if they have that motive, if the motive is behind all this is to take that part of Sagan's work, which, you know, Sagan was also an atheist, but he didn't constantly pound it down people's face. The problem I have with it is it gets in the way of the bigger, cool stuff. Like, oh, fine, that's an argument people can have. We can have that argument. We can do those things off to the side someplace. There is a place for theology versus, non-theology. Sure. We can have that argument. But did this show have to be that? I feel like there's more out there to talk about. And the fact that we're reversing it in, like, hey, let's talk about religion again in whatever form they put it in the show is at odds with the whole point of the cosmos. It is at odds with the whole point of this huge thing out there that we don't know so much about that we are, it's so overwhelming that we now have to argue about religion again because that's, we know it and it's easier and that gets, you know, people all riled up. That did bother me. I'm not happy about that.
It was just, it's like why? Yeah. Why? Why first? Yeah. Why at all?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, why spend so much time and why have the final image before he gets lit on fire to have the dude put the cross in his face? And I understand there's very good reasons for everything, but it's like that just annoys me. It just annoys me that was a thing.
I didn't love it. Yeah, that part bugged me. Mm-hmm. But on the whole, I think it was pretty rad. You know, we'll see what they do. Moving forward with this thing, and I'm glad that people. I mean, I love science, and any talk about science gets me excited. But yeah, the messiah complex we have on Twitter about things that are nerdy, that should go. Religious discussion on the cosmos should go, and bad internet and hotel should go.
Hey, listen, your fault.
Yeah,
you bring it up with the city of Eagletown or wherever you are.
Hey, I'm in Salt Lake City now. I'm not even near that place. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we moved. All right. Well, there you go. Justin R. Young, Robert Young is the middle name. Yeah. And
I didn't hear the beginning of the show. Did you guys ever figure the thing out with the are you still Civil Crusader Scott Johnson? We're going to protest.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Oh, the city thing. So we're waiting to hear
City Hall.
We're waiting to hear back because they gave us the suggestion on how to get around it. The very people we have to submit it to. Which is just so freaking weird. So basically, it felt like this. It felt like going. What's it like? It's like going to the front of a line. Or no, you know what it is? It's like waiting in line for at a restaurant to get your food. And you finally get there, and then they go, "Sorry, we're all out." Oh, what? You told me to wait in line. I did the right thing. I didn't butt or anything. And next time, maybe you just want to butt in. Like that's kind of what they said to me. Which is really, I felt. Ridiculous and kind of proves my point that there's too much bureaucracy when it comes to that stuff. Anyway, supposedly it's all settled.
Keep going, Tea Party Johnson.
We just have to find out when, or we just have to wait for the approval letter. So it's probably another week or something, and then we'll find out. So I'm not going to kick up any more dirt until I need to, and hopefully I don't need to. So we'll see.
I loved you. I loved you getting all hot and bothered about it last week.
I got a little sweaty that morning.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah, a little sweaty for sure. Speaking of a little sweaty, Justin's got a lot of stuff going on right now. New Night Attack tonight. Is that happening?
New Night Attack featuring Veronica Belmont, whose show does a Let's Play at 4 p.m. Pacific time on DiamondClub.tv. Yeah,
perfect timing.
You should watch that instead of anything else that's on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because she had it first.
Yeah, she was on there doing that, and that's great. I popped into her stream the week before we started our PM TMSPM. Here's the problem though. Thursdays, what the hell? Thursdays are crazy. I don't know why we picked a night because it seems like everybody picks that night because it's an easier night to get something done. So
yeah, no, I think it's something that we were talking last week. It would be really rad. I don't know where Veronica's head is at on it, but I think we are all of the mindset that we want to. I think if we can, we all want to make the most seamless, fun entertainment block that we can for anybody who enjoys all of our stuff. And I think there's a lot of people that enjoy the morning stream and Frog Pants stuff that, of course, enjoy Veronica's work and enjoy Veronica on these programs. So hopefully we'll be able to figure something out where at least our stuff. I mean, like, we can't control everybody's stuff, but maybe if we can figure out a good way to handle stuff, then that would be rad.
Yeah,
sit down at the treaty table. And
yeah, but we have to sit on both. We have to, one side has to be where the dividing line is. There need to be some angry North Korean soldiers ready to shoot us any minute. Like all that stuff has to be in place.
Must be drawn here.
Yeah, if we could do that,
no further.
That'd be great.
So there, Night Attack tonight, Veronica Belmont, and our first of what I hope to be monthly appearances by Sarah Lane doing Problem Solver. So if you want to get your problem solved, man, just follow me on Twitter at Justin R. Young. I'll retweet it. There's a form where you can submit your problem. If you're not familiar with this bit, we basically, it is a call out advice show. So you submit your problem, we call you, and then really you're only on the phone to say hello. Yell the solution at you, and then we hang. You don't talk at all.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like you guys at all. It doesn't sound like a thing you guys would come up with or do. Yeah. And when I say that, I mean it sounds exactly like something you guys would do. That's fantastic. That actually sounds like fun.
Club.tv.
Yeah, and I love me some Sarah Lane, so that sounds good to me. Justin R. Young on Twitter. Justin, have a fantastic time and enjoy Ann Arbor for all it has to give.
Woo!
Yeah. Mm. I can't hang up on you for some reason. Oh, hang up on me.
I can't hang up on you.
I can't quit you.
Sounds like a line from Brokeback Mountain.
Which I've never seen. I should see it. It's good?
You should see it. It's good. Yeah.
Is the Joker good in there?
Joker is good.
Mm-hmm.
How's that young kid
from October Sky? Seabiscuit.
October Sky, yeah.
Seabiscuit? He's not Seabiscuit, is he?
Oh, no, it's a different guy from Seabiscuit.
I think Seabiscuit was...
Tobey Maguire.
Confused
with Jake Gyllenhaal.
That's right. That's right. What's Tobey Maguire doing these days? You know he's not got talent. What's he doing? Is he doing some stuff? Is he working?
He was just in The Gatsby.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was in
The Gatsby.
The Gatsby, was that what that was called?
That was called The Gatsby, yeah.
Was that that was your Leonardo DiCaprio?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I didn't see that either. Probably
playing a 50s or 40s version of, or maybe even 20s version of his character from Wolf of Wall Street. Without the cocaine, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So my kids watched Gravity last night, and they loved it. Big fans. My kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, I saw it. This is my second viewing now. So.
Okay, good.
Enjoyed the hell out of that movie, and I liked second time. Yeah, it's really good.
I just love how it's nonstop, you know?
And at one point, my daughter doesn't like dead people in movies. Mm-hmm. So I said, there's this first part of the beginning and then the ship stuff. And mm-hmm. Or no, I forgot about the ship stuff. So the one guy at the beginning getting hit, Huerve or whatever his name was. Right. And I said, so this is a little rough, Carter. I want you to be aware of it. She goes, okay. And it got there. And she's like, okay, that's it? I said, yeah, that's it. And I forgot they went back into the shuttle to find all the floating bodies in there. And so they showed up. And she goes, Dad! And she threw a stuffed animal so hard at me across the room that my glasses flew off and hit the other side of the wall. She felt bad about that. But anyway.
It's like a Three Stooges movie in that house.
It really is. That's it. We're done. Let's get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show. Nicole will be here. Tom will be here. We'll be here, right?
Mm-hmm. Daryl will be here.
Will be here, sure. So big thanks to all of them for being here.
Watching all of you.
Sure, because Thursday she'll lay down the skivvy.
That's right.
My wife could not come home soon enough. I really wish that was today, but I know. We miss her. It sucks. We're eating like crap.
I'm going to go to Costco today and get some healthy snacks. That's what I'm doing.
Good for you, man. Look at you.
I'm going to get some honey yogurt. I'm going to get some granola.
Mm. Those are good together, those two things.
Sugar, snap peas,
mm-hmm.
Some of that that Greek yogurt dip that's really good.
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the jalapeno.
Don't be distracted by the old ladies in blue hairnets. I'll sell you, give you a little sample.
Would you like to try a sample of this stromboli in a pastry shell?
Those ladies in the TV area, those are my big downfalls at Costco. I could spend all day in that TV place.
Yeah, I could too.
That's it. We're done. Frogpants.com/themorningstream is our website. All links point there. You can find other links off from there to do different things. Nerdtacular.com for your Nerdtacular tickets. We'd love to see Tad Poolers in force. Email us at themorningstream@gmail.com. That's themorningstream@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're @morningstream, @ScottJohnson, and @Coverville. And you're now going to give us some sort of cover, I'm guessing.
I am. This one's going out to Mike. Who's the picture framer from Northern California? He wanted me to tell you that.
Mm.
Hello, Scott.
Oh,
and
that
Brian.
Guy's great.
Yes, he is great.
He frames a Nerdtacular print every year. We give away at the prize thing.
Yes, he does.
He is really talented.
That's exactly the guy.
Yeah.
Hello, Scott and Brian. I don't have any witty names. No sleep has sapped all the wit out of me. I would love to submit a request for a cover on TMS during my first week back to work from a longish leave of absence these past 6 weeks. My lovely wife gave birth to our daughter, Nora Eileen, on January 31st, and I took a chunk of time away from work to help at home, wrangle our three-year-old son, Charlie, and try and lower the stress level a bit for everyone for at least a few weeks. All of that being said, I head back to work on Monday, March 10th, and would love to hear a cover relating to getting back to the grind. I can't really think of the perfect song to speak about trudging back to work after a long break, but I'm sure in the capable hands of Mr. Ibbett, a great selection will be made. If you aren't able to sneak my cover in, blah, 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 I don't know what the hell TMS PM is, but I have a pretty good idea just from the initials and can't wait to start listening to it regardless. Thanks for making my days bearable, guys. I don't know what I'd do without TMS.
You know, always tell a guy who's been dealing with a baby, you know, he's just, yes, the world ends for a while. You totally, just don't know what's totally going on.
I don't know what this is. What is it? Is yeah. There's a Trek nerd now? What?
That's great.
Bo knows the show, though, Mike.
Bo knows.
So I was going to do, I have a great cover of Freddie Johnson covering XTC's Earn Enough for Us, but I think, which talks all about this, like, you know, this guy just, he's working just to, you know, keep his family taken care of, and they've got a baby on the way. But I think we've played that before on TMS, so I decided to go with something else. And if you forgive the fact that this does include Garth Brooks...
He's all right.
You know, we don't play. He's all right. Actually, I like his. I'm a big fan of Michael Gaines, actually. But Chris Gaines.
Yeah, Michael Gaines is a star man and does the, different the World of Warcast. Yeah.
That's right. Yes. Very different. Daryl's
buddy.
Daryl's partner in crime. Chris Gaines, I was a big fan of. This is Working for a Living with Huey Lewis. So it's kind of a cover / recover since Huey Lewis did the original version. This one comes from the Ultimate Hits. And is Garth Brooks, Huey Lewis, Working for a Living.
My sales / business manager would like me to tell everybody that I need to clarify my X-Men position. I was only using that as an example earlier. I love the X-Men, and don't send me your emails. Just hold that.
Oh, I can quit typing up this hastily and harshly worded letter.
Yeah, don't do that. Hey, what's the series that Whedon wrote in 2004? I'm rereading that, but I never... Is it Astonishing? It is.
The Astonishing. Astonishing.
One X-Men of the fantastic. Best runs you will ever freaking read. I'm reading it on Marvel Unlimited right now, and I had forgotten how much I love that series. So good.
And the artwork is so damn good too.
It's amazing. It
hits on all levels.
Seminal moment in X-Men history, I believe. So check it out. It's good. And don't send me your emails. And if you hate the X-Men, don't send me those either. Okay. It's okay to like and hate things that other people either don't like or don't hate. It's fine. Learn to live with other people's opinions. All right. Let's get to the thing here. It's the song. Where is it? Here it is. Working for a Living. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a nice day.
Some days pass on by, I'll be working here forever, at least until I die. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. I'm supposed to get a raise next week, you know damn well I won't. Working for a living,
working,
working for a living,
working,
working for a living, living out working, taking what they're giving, cause I'm working for a living.
I'm not complaining cause I really need to work. But hitting up my buddies got me feeling like a jerk. Car payment, insurance, alimony, rent. I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living. I'm working for a living. I'm working for a living. Living and working. Taking what they're giving cause I'm working for a living.
the same. NASCAR, RockStar, or any other game. Working for a living. I'm working for a living. I'm working for a living. Living and a working. Taking what they're giving, cause I'm working for a living. Working for a living.
Visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
What do you want, copper?